to ensure that we actually form a quorum. I also see Deputy Minister on the platform. Welcome, Deputy Minister and your team from the department. Just in terms of honorable members that are present, we have Honorable Fisser, Honorable Nkosi, Honorable Mikolakis, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Seleku, Honorable Zandamela, and Honorable Nkiva. I think we're sufficient to even form a quorum. Once again, welcome members and welcome Deputy Minister and your team to this meeting. Today, honorable members, will be further processing the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill, which we received a briefing in the last meeting from the department. As we indicated in that meeting, we also utilized the recess period to advertise the bill, and it was put out for public comment on electronic platforms as well as the national and provincial newspapers. And as I also indicated in our last meeting, that the deadline for written submissions was set for last week, Friday. And maybe just to indicate that we've received a total of 55 submissions on the bill. And I think members would have also received a document which outlined all the relevant information pertaining to the submission made. In essence, we received two submissions from the following organizations. The one submission was from the South African National Editors Forum, and the other from the Media Monitoring Africa. In addition to that,
recording in progress,
53 individual submissions via the Dear South Africa website. Of the 53 submissions, we had individuals that either indicated support for the bill or did not support the bill or not fully support the bill. And as members will also realize that sometimes these indications don't necessarily come with any substantive comment. But just to indicate that 6 individuals indicated their support for the bill, 36 did not support the bill, 11 did not fully support the bill. And I think we also would have received a document from the department, especially in terms of their responses to the submissions that were made. And I think in today's briefing, we'll get the department to make that presentation, and thereafter, honorable members will allow members to deliberate on what is presented. That being said, let me hand over to you, Deputy Minister, and I understand Mr. Dukria will be doing the presentation, but given that you're here, Deputy Minister, I'll hand over to you. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to everybody, to members, and the public who may be watching, listening. Ms. Kale Pele, the DDG for Legislative Development, is off or not available today. I understand, but I can't see him on the platform that Advocate Sibela Mecha is leading the delegation. So if he's here, otherwise I do see Mr. Dupria on the platform, and I think he would be going through the submissions. I just wanted to make some initial points about the submissions. This is a Section 75 bill, so the status of the National Assembly and the NCOP is different. It's a national competency bill. The National Council of Provinces doesn't have the power to amend the bill. It's only got the power to make recommended amendments. So it's not as strong as it is in a Section 76 bill where the houses are equal. When this bill went to the National Assembly, it was put out for public comment. There was only one comment, which was from the Child Law Center, who had brought the application against the media. In this case, it was Media 24, relating to, it was an issue of children's rights versus public information and therefore Center for Child Law against Media 24. I see then that media, that the SANEF, the Editors Forum, and Media Monitoring Africa have made submissions. I don't know why they didn't make submissions to the National Assembly, but they didn't. But anyway, you would need to consider them, and the department will be going through responses to those. I then just wanted to raise the issue with Dear South Africa. And Chair, I think that efforts to encourage public participation are good and need to be supported. However, what is worrying me from having a look at their website, and I don't know why they picked this bill as one of the bills to promote for public comment, because what Parliament can do on this bill is also limited, because it's basically implementing a constitutional court judgment. So whether you think the children's names should or shouldn't be released after they turn 18, the Constitutional Court has ruled in that regard. But Chair, my concern, and I do think that Parliament should engage DSA. They purport they state basically that we run our website not on petitions, but on public participation processes as laid out in the PUDGA Act. And then they make references to PUDGA, but the PUDGA Act specifically excludes the legislative process under PUDGA. Then when it comes to the bill, to make things easier for people, they've got drop boxes. And it's basically, do you support amendments as proposed? And it's yes or no. What is your top concern? And then you've got three options. You've got a number of options on a Dropbox. Protecting the identity of a witness under 18 years of age, which is not actually a factor in the bill. It's in the Criminal Procedure Act. And if the Con Court has ruled on the over 18s, it's definitely not going to rule that the names of people, of witnesses and accused under 18's names should be released. So Chair, what I'm raising is, I think it would be good if through you or that you take up with Parliament in engagement with DRSA to try and make the process a bit more accurate. It doesn't help having 55 submissions where people say vague things that it's difficult to follow what they're actually saying. I think that defeats the object. But Chair, having said that, if I can then hand over to the advocate, if he's here, or if not, then to Mr. Dupria. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Okay, Mr.
Dupria? Sorry, Chair, I'm here. I signed in with the phone because I struggled with the laptop, but otherwise there's nothing much to add. Mr. Dupria can proceed, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee and Deputy Minister. Madam Chair, I'm just going to start off by attempting to share my screen. I must apologize in advance, Madam Chair, with our internet connection is terribly bad this morning. And hopefully you can see this screen. Madam Chair, in table one reflects comments of a general nature and then the department's response. And then table two provides a clause by clause summary of the submissions. Our Deputy Minister has already addressed the issue of submissions being submitted in a bunch. And I'm merely going to highlight one or two under each section. Persons who expressed their support for the bill, maybe we could possibly highlight just what R. Berta said is, she's of the view, or he's of the view, that young persons have...
Mr. Dupria, my apologies for the interruption. I think I'd forgotten to say this because we received your document. But perhaps can you first go through the substantive comments and then you can go through the general stuff? Thank you.
Certainly, Madam Chair, and I actually have a co-presenter with me today, Mr. Mangena, who promoted the bill through the Portfolio Committee. We also shared in the task of doing the submissions. So with your permission, I would like to hand over to Mr. Mangena to take you through the SANEF submission. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister, and good morning, Chief Director, to the Chief Director. My brief this morning is to take you through what the South African National Editors Forum's views are or submissions are in relation to the bill. After looking at their submission, which entailed the following, first of all, they are proposing that the submission on before the conclusion of criminal proceedings must be dealt with in the following manner. They submit that the effect of the phrase before the conclusion of criminal proceedings in the new subsection 3 is far-reaching, and thus, when you read it with subsection 3, capital A, it means that the body other than the police may publish any identifying information about a potential child victim of crime, such as a kidnapped child. They are also of the view that this would ban the publishing of missing child alerts on social media or anywhere else by anybody other than the police, even the missing child's own family. The ban would apply even if no criminal proceedings ultimately eventuate, and this is a drastic limitation, according to them, on free speech, which does not appear to have any rational relation to the protection of the child's dignity, privacy, and best interests. This is, in the commentator's view, unconstitutional, and unconstitutionality can be cured simply by the removal of the word before. And as the department, our response is as follows. We say that the circumstances listed in subsection 3, capital A of the bill must be present in respect of every category of children in criminal proceedings before the information revealing the identity of a child may be published by the police or any authorized person. It is also important to know that criminal proceedings commence way before the actual trial gets underway, allowing any form of publication before the actual trial commences without any justification has a potential of frustrating ongoing investigations and also the administration of justice. It is only under exceptional circumstances that publicizing the identity of a child can be allowed. The department, Madam Chair, is further of the view that any genuine complaint about a missing child would ordinarily be formally reported to the police for formal processing and necessary investigations to be carried out. Nothing precludes a family and also interested parties from launching searches for missing children. The police should give formal guidelines regarding the extent to which the general public can be involved in handling an issue involving missing children. This is not a drastic limitation on free speech. In some instances, any limitation of rights is a justified limitation in terms of Section 36 of the Constitution, especially if the limitation would be in the interests of the child. After all, no rights are absolute, Madam Chair. Thus, the department does not support the proposed removal of the word before from the provision referred to. Then, SANEF further make a to the effect that waiting after the conclusion of criminal proceedings must be dealt with differently. They are of the view that the words at any stage after the conclusion of criminal proceedings have an effect that the default position is permanent protection of anonymity in all cases, from which the court has the discretion to depart if it is just and equitable to do so. This means that a protected person can never consent to their own identification unless they first obtain a court order authorizing them to identify themselves. This is not changed by subsection 3, capital B, which applies where the court has granted an order that extends into adulthood. The court will never have granted any such order, so they say, as the default position under subsection 3 is that the identification ban is permanent and thus extends into adulthood. And as the department, our response is that an accused witness or a child against whom an offense has allegedly been committed, who is under the age of 18 years at the time of the commission of the offense, does not forfeit the protection of anonymity afforded by section 154 upon attainment of age of 18 years. Madam Chair, the protection is ongoing unless the court authorizes the publication of such information about the child. A person may consent to the application to the publication of their identity after reaching age of 18 years, or if consent is refused by the their identity may be published at the discretion of a competent court. Consent is not the sole criteria for the publication of such information. Proposed subsection 3, capital B, requires the court to be satisfied that the accused witness or a person against whom an offense has been committed understand the nature and effect of the order authorizing publication of their identity. SANEF further goes on to make a submission to the effect that establishment of a permanent identification ban and motivating for a consent exception to the post-adulthood identification. And they are of the view that the bill's current provision for exceptions to the ban is far narrower than that discussed and ordered in the judgment. And the court's interim order provided that a court order authorizing post-adulthood identification would only be required if the protected person does not consent to the identification. And the department's response, Madam Chair, is similar to our response in paragraph 1.2 above. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to repeat that which I highlighted in my earlier response to paragraph 1.2, because the response is the same. And they make a further submission, that is SANEF, submission that the bill presently limits the child tenth adult's rights to privacy, dignity, and freedom of expression. The extent of the limitation, according to SANEF, is far-reaching, as it places the onus on that person to approach and convince a court that they should be permitted to tell their own story. The commentator further submits that this is a harsh reality, which is going to be compounded by the fact that there is a limited legal aid for civil litigation in South Africa. Yes, as a department, we note that submission, but the bill as it stands currently provides that a child accused, a witness, or a person contemplated in subsection 3, paragraph A, subparagraph 3, should be able to publish or reveal their own identity without needing a court order, except if there had been a court order authorizing their protection. It is recognized that the process will otherwise be cumbersome to discharge. As a result, there's no need to rush to court all the time when matters of this nature require to be addressed. There would not be a need for legal aid as a result, due to the reasons that I've just cited. And SANEF further proceeds to say that the current bill is completely deprives the child and adult of their autonomy in telling their own story and places in the hands and gifts of the court. And the department's response to that effect is that an accused witness or a person is not deprived of autonomy in telling their own story to anyone. They are actually empowered to publish or reveal their own identity without needing a court order, except if that had been a court order authorizing their protection. Otherwise, the process again, as I said earlier on, will be cumbersome to discharge. The commentator further proposes that the word before should be deleted, the new subsection 3. And our response is that this view is not supported. The reason being that the provision is comprehensive enough to deal with issues relating to children and the law. And in their last submission, SANEF proposes that subsection 3, capital B, should be amended by deleting paragraph A and replacing it with a new paragraph, which I'll read to you. They propose that we delete paragraph A and replace it with the following. If a person contemplated in subsection 3, paragraph A, has attained the age of 18 years, but has not consented to the publication of information which may reveal their identity, the High Court before which or in whose area of jurisdiction the criminal proceedings contemplated in subsection 3 have been concluded, may, on application of an interested person, grant an order authorizing such publication. And upon reading this submission, the Asset Department, we did not support this proposed change to subsection 3, capital B, because the provision in its current form, we believe, offers much needed protection to children in criminal trial proceedings. So that's mainly what SANEF is saying. And I'm going to, Madam Chair, hand over to Mr. Dupree, who's going to take you through what Media Monitoring Africa submissions were in relation to this bill. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Media Monitoring Africa, insofar as the proposed section 154.3a is concerned, they raised the issue with before, during, or any stage after the conclusion of criminal proceedings. And they submit that in order to ensure that there is no uncertainty or confusion in respect of when the protection contained in the provision begin to apply, they recommend that the following wording must be included in the provision, where they want to spell out literally what they recommend. The department is, however, of the view, Madam Chair, that the provision as it stands is clear and unambiguous, and the ambit thereof encompasses the proposed amendment. The proposed amendment merely confirms the current provision as regulated in terms of section 154.3 of the Criminal Procedure Act. Secondly, Madam Chair, with regard to the requirement of just and equitable in the interest of any particular person, the MMA is of the view that the threshold in section 3B of just and equitable in the interest of a particular person should be expanded in order to strike a balance between freedom of expression and the rights of privacy, dignity, and the best interests of the child. They also expressed the concern that the proposed amendment does not use non-binary language and argues that the Select Committee has in the past proposed similar amendments to the Domestic Violence Amendment Bill. So with regard to the first portion of their submission, the department submits that the proposed amendment entails what will, in the normal course of events, be taken into consideration by the courts. It strikes, Madam Chair, that the best interests of the child are of paramount importance. It stands to reason that the courts will take all competing rights in a particular matter into consideration before a decision is taken. The department is of the view that the wording in the interest of any person is wide enough to cater for the proposed amendment, and therefore we do not support the proposed amendment. With regard to the submission on non-binary language, where reference was made to the Domestic Violence Bill, the concern, similar to what was the concern in the Sexual Offences Amendment Bill, Madam Chair, is that it does not serve any useful purpose to amend only one provision in a principal act that contains so many provisions. However, Madam Chair, the department is well aware that there is a need to use non-binary language, and it is something that will receive the necessary attention in the future insofar as new or amending legislation is concerned. Then with regard to the proposed new subsection 3A, the MMA submits that the power to authorize information to be made available should be given to station commanders and that the media should expressly be included in the proposed amendment in order to ensure close cooperation between SAPS and the media in the interest of those children concerned. Madam Chair, the department is of the view that the national commissioners should decide how and to whom to delegate the power to decide to make information available. This will ensure that the necessary guidance will be given to those who are delegated to decide to make information available and will ensure uniformity across the country in the exercise of the power concerned. To include specific reference to the media in the provision concerned will merely, according to the department, confirm an existing standard practice. The department therefore does not support the proposal. With regard to the proposed subsection 3BA, they have made a similar submission that SANEF made, and we are merely repeating the answer here. So for the sake of time, we will skip that one with your permission. And then with regard to the proposed section 3BC, they make a recommendation that the following amendments must be inserted in that provision. For example, that a court must take into consideration factors such as the best interest of a child to the extent that persons under the age of 18 will be affected by the publication of such information. And they also propose that some of the existing listed factors must be omitted or deleted. And then they recommend that three additional amendments be affected to the provision concerned. Madam Chair, the department would like to submit that the proposed amendment does not add anything new to the proposed section 3BC. It should be kept in mind that the proposed section provides the courts that they must take all relevant factors into consideration, and then it introduces the list by indicating including those that are listed. The list in the proposed section is therefore not a closed list, but it's an open-ended one, precisely because of the fact that the courts are required to take all relevant factors into consideration. The department is of the view that the parties will, on a case-by-case basis, address the court on those relevant factors they would want the court to take into consideration, and that it would be more appropriate not to make the open-ended list of factors too prescriptive. That brings us to the end of the substantive submissions, Madam Chair. I think I should pause here if you and the members would like to raise some questions.
Mr. Dupree, you can just finish up with your presentation. Mr. Dupree?
I will do so. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'm just going to highlight in under table one, there were persons who expressed their support for the bill, and they've given motivation for that. In this regard, the department merely noted their support for the bill and how they substantiated their support. There was also persons who indicated that they do not fully support the bill. Some of them gave reasons, some of them not. What we would like to maybe just highlight here is that M. Erasmus, for example, submitted that the right to privacy is one of the most important constitutional rights, and by publishing identifying information contravenes the right to privacy. We indicated that the Protection of Personal Information Act regulates the manner in which personal information may be processed by responsible parties and allow for the processing of personal information. If such processing is in the interest of investigating crimes that have been committed, which is then an exception created in terms of that act. Madam Chair, I'm not going to highlight anything else here with your permission. Then there were persons who indicated that they do not support the bill. They have also given motivations why they do not. And maybe I could highlight this submission for you. Some of the individuals submitted that children who commit crimes should be treated like any other criminal. South African laws have a tendency to protect criminals. Laws should most definitely protect witnesses. Madam Chair, and we merely indicated that this is precisely what 154 aims to address. And then, of course, with regard to the constitutional principle that the interests of children are of paramount importance. Madam Chair, with your permission, the other submissions under Table 1, they are on record and the department's responses there too. So with your permission, Madam Chair, if you do not want us to highlight anything else under Table 1, I will hand back to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. De Pryor, Mr. Mangena, Mr. Meja, and the Deputy Minister for that presentation. I think your concerns, Deputy Minister, with regard to submissions made through the Dear South Africa website has also been something that we've been trying to also get around administratively, and I think it's something that we will be taking up at least my office will be taking it up. Honourable members, that is the responses by the department to the comments that we've received from various stakeholders. I'm going to open it up to yourselves to either comment and or get questions of clarity. But also, just before I do that, I think also some of the issues that were being dealt with in this meeting were also raised in the previous meeting, and we received various explanations for that. Let me open it up. Honourable members, you can please indicate by raising your hands. Okay, I see Honourable Bartlett's hand is raised. Is there any other honourable member? Okay, if not, Honourable Bartlett. Oh, Honourable De Dovel as well. Okay, Honourable Bartlett.
Okay, yes, Chair. Chair, on the issue, I think it's page 6 of page 7, where I read, they corrected that page, né? But I want them to give us the final version, because there was a bit confused on 6-8, page 6-8 or page 7A. I'm not sure I'm clear enough, Chair.
Okay, if I'm
the one that said, yeah, that one, the one that said they replace. I just want him to put him in the right version and then read it to us again.
Okay, this is from this is a comment from Sanef, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Where to replace the wording.
Yes, okay. Yes.
No, it's fine. I'll let the department deal with that. Honourable Dudu? Honourable Bartlett, are you done? Honourable Dudu?
Can you hear me?
Oh, you're very faint, Honourable Dudu. I don't know if it's just myself.
Yes, can you just speak to me now? I'm looking on another gadget.
Honourable Dudu, I don't hear you. I'm not sure if it's everybody else or it's just myself.
We can't hear him also, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Dajobo, we cannot hear you. Oops, and I think he got kicked out of, or he's still on the platform. Honorable Dajobo? Okay, let me hand over back to the department just to deal with that. Honorable Dajobo? Okay. Perhaps he'll join us and raise what else he needs to raise. Let me hand
Thank you, Madam Chair. Under paragraph 6, SANEF made a proposal that subsection 3, capital B, should be amended. You would notice that in the bill, that subsection has got paragraph A and paragraph B. So now what SANEF proposes in its submission is that paragraph A, the initial paragraph A that exists in the current bill must be, you know, removed in its entirety and be replaced by only one paragraph, which I read to the honorable members earlier on. So I'm not very sure if I should read that which they propose that we remove in its entirety or what. But for the sake of saving time and for the sake of clarity, let me read to you what they say we must get rid of. In the bill, under paragraph A, we're saying the court before which criminal proceedings contemplated in subsection 3 have been concluded may, on application of an accused, a witness, or a person contemplated in subsection 3, paragraph A, who has attained the age of 18 years and where the court has granted an order that extends into adulthood, grant an order authorizing the publication of information which reveals the identity of the applicant if the court is satisfied that the applicant understands the nature and effect of the court order in terms of this subsection. So now SANEF proposes that this be removed in its entirety. And in its place, they propose that it be replaced by the following paragraph. They say the following paragraph must read as follows. If a person contemplated in subsection 3A has attained the age of 18 years, but has not consented to the publication of information which may reveal their identity, the High Court before which or in whose area of jurisdiction the criminal proceedings contemplated in subsection 3 have been concluded may, on application of an interested person, grant an order authorizing such publication. And the latter part of that paragraph was deleted so as to read up to the word publication. So that's how they propose that this be addressed. And we like I said before, we are not in agreement with their proposal because we feel that the provision in its current form offers the much needed protection the children so much need, especially children who are in conflict with the law or are engaged in criminal trial proceedings. So that's the department's submission in that regard. Over to you, Honorable Chairperson.
Well, thank you very much. I think Honorable Bartlett, that probably clarifies it more for yourself. I'm not sure if you have a follow-up. If not, and Honorable Dodovo, I don't see Sorry, him.
Yeah, no, I'm fine, Chair. I just wanted a sequence.
Okay, no, that's fine. Honorable Dodovo, are you with us? Okay, he's not with us, but Honorable Members, I think that there are no other comments and or clarity seeking questions, I would take it that honorable members are happy with the comments from the department as well as this, yeah, and you're happy with the submission. If that is the case, honorable members, I think it implies that we will not be making any amendments as the NCOP or as the committee. I would then propose that we we just deal with the adoption of the bill, the B version as is. I would then call for any member that would want to move for the adoption.
I move, Honorable Chair. Honorable Bartlett.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett.
Honorable Kosi, I second Honorable Bartlett for the moving of the adoption of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kosi. Are there any objections and or abstentions on the adoption of the bill? I don't see any hands. So I take it that the amended version of the bill, or the bill, B version of the bill, is adopted as is. Honourable members, if you'll allow me, just so that we can administratively also deal with the processes for the House to receive our report on the bill. Allow me to. Honourable Dodowo, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back, but it's okay. I know I can know that it is already adopted. I had a question, but it's fine. I will live with it.
Okay, Honorable Dodowo. Okay, Honorable members, as I was indicating that for administrative, if you would allow me to also table the report concerning this bill for the committee's deliberation and or adoption. I think Gershwin is reflecting that on the screen. Okay, I think, and maybe before we even get into that, let me just thank the Deputy Minister and the team from the department for the briefing on the amendments to this bill. Deputy Minister, I don't want to make the mistake I made last time. You and your team are free to leave if you wish.
Thanks, Chair. I'm sure we'd be happy to leave.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay, Honourable Members, so Gershwin, I think you're going a bit quick down. Just in terms of the background, can you scroll upwards, Gershwin? Okay, that's just the background to the bill. And I think the content of the background is also issues that we've been discussing in the last meeting and in the current meeting. Then just in terms of the public participation process, as I indicated that it was advertised on both the electronic platform as well as in the provincial newspapers. And thereafter, it's the summary of the submissions which we were dealing with today by SANEP, the Media Monitoring Africa, as well as the individual submissions via the Geo South Africa website. And then the next point deals with the consideration that we received a briefing on the 10th, and on the 17th, we dealt with the written submissions and the department's responses, and the fact that we were fine with the responses and the written submissions. Okay, and just in terms of the fact that there were no objections, the bill was supported by a majority of members, and then our recommendation, obviously, to the House would be that, having considered the criminal procedure amendment bill, referred to it on the 10th of September, Section 75, we recommend that the Council passes the bill without proposed amendments. Members, let me open it up for any deliberations and or comments or amendments that you would like to make. Okay, I don't see any.
Chair, I think if there's anything else, can I propose for adoption of the report?
Okay, Honorable Butler, I don't think members are not raising their hands. Yeah, I I take it that you're moving for the adoption of the bill. Are there any?
Yes, I'm moving for the adoption of the bill.
The adoption of the report. My apologies. Are there any? Is there any seconder to the adoption of the report?
Honorable Chair.
Honorable Nkosi.
Honorable Nkosi, I supported the, for the adoption of the report made by Honorable Bartlett. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. And any objections? And abstain. Okay, I see there's no objections or abstention. Just thank you. Subsection 3 of the protection in criminal proceedings, especially child victims, as well as providing for ongoing protection to children beyond the age of 18 years. Thank you very much, honorable members. We dealt with today's agenda. Thank you very much for your attendance and or participation in this meeting. Honorable Dodovo, I'll call you just to have a chat. Thank you very much, all members. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.